What the buck, Bucks? The wheels fell off last night in the fourth quarter, and they end up losing game four, 116-108 to the Celtics. Now they go back on the road to TD Garden and have to win game five. They don't have to win it, obviously. The series isn't over, but I think you got to win it. I think you got to make a statement. You got to show that, like, you will not be pushed around the way that they were against the Celtics last night. We put it on the ESPN Milwaukee Twitter poll. Where do you fall on our Seinfeld scale of concern for the Bucks? Yada, yada, yada. Oh, I'm stressed. I'm freaking out. Right now, 56% of people say, oh, I'm stressed. Go ahead and weigh in on that. Let us know on the First Midwest Bank talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Gabe, you are one of the people who said you are freaking out. What about the way things have gone make you freak out right now?
Just the fourth quarter offense, and it's not just yesterday's. And even though they ended up scoring 28 points, there were times where it just got really stagnant. And I understand the Celtics got incredibly hot. I mean, when Jason Tatum is hitting shots as he's falling to the floor, it's clearly not going to be your quarter, and Al Horford can't miss. But the last two fourth quarters, yes, they were able to hold on in game three, but the last two fourth quarters, they had leads going in, and the offense just becomes so stagnant. I don't know if that's because they're expending so much energy on the defensive side, that there's way too much standing around. And the Bucks in the half court without Chris Middleton have been able to survive. But the last two games, you've really missed that, and they've got to do something different. And maybe I should have a little bit more faith in Mike Budenholzer to figure it out, because they did after looking really bad in the first two games of the Nets series last year, and then they were able to come back and win four of the final five games of that series in order to win it. So maybe they'll make some tiny adjustments, especially to the fourth quarter offense, but there's just way too much isolation basketball happening. It's like the 1990s all over again. Okay, get him the ball, clear it out, Giannis will make something happen, Drew will make something happen, and the offense has just become way too bogged down, where it makes me nervous. Anytime, even with a lead going into the fourth quarter, it's going to make me nervous going forward.
So who do you blame? Are we going back to last year, the series before the Suns game, where everyone was just beating up on Bud? Is this a Bud thing, or what are we doing here?
That's what Shaq said in Inside the NBA last night after the game. He pointed out that the Bucks kind of went back to the Bucks of old.
Now, I don't have a feeling on this game yet, but I can say this. If the Bucks lose, it's not over. If the Celtics lose, it's over. You agree?
No, I think whoever wins game five wins the series.
I don't think so.
I don't have faith in the Bucks right now to win back-to-back games.
Even if Middleton plays game six.
I mean, if Middleton comes back, all bets are off. But at the same time, I need to see him play. Like, it just seems a little too early. And if he, just because he's back, doesn't mean the Bucks are going to be better. If he's ineffective, can't really move and get to his spots and be able to get some of those tough shots off.
Well, okay, but you've been talking about the psychology of things, Chu. Is there any part of the Celtics that see them trot Chris Middleton back out there and go, oh, Bucks are desperate? Bucks can't beat us without Middleton. They got to get him back out there. He's still recovering from that MCL injury. We got this. You know what I mean? Like, you have been leaning so heavily on the psychology of the players and their mindset going into each game. Does that play a role at all?
I think it does, because if he does come back for game six, and how many weeks has it been? I mean,
it'll be three on Friday, right? Three. It was two on Friday?
Three.
I mean, I'm old school, obviously, right?
Yes.
I just don't know what percentage healthy these guys come back and play from. Do they have to be 100%? Take a shot of Toradol. Here we go. This is elimination. Suck it up, Buttercup.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone in the NBA taking Toradol. I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
But do you think,
like, I've heard it, obviously we've heard about it in the NFL. I've never heard it in the NBA. Like, how, when you take a shot of Toradol, Chu?
Yes.
Like, does it just kind of numb the area?
You don't feel anything. It's just like...
Yeah, but can't that be more dangerous, right? Like, isn't your pain threshold supposed to keep you from hurting yourself ultimately? Right? They talk about those people who don't feel any sensation of pain.
But this is how I used to think.
Yes.
What's the alternative? You got the whole offseason to recover from it, right?
I know, but if you have an MCL that's injured, you take some Toradol, all of a sudden, you don't feel anything. It's not like it just isolates the MCL. You're not feeling anything in that knee. Aren't you more likely to hyperextend it, tear your ACL,
you
do some things? Because the pain is supposed to keep you from doing things that the joint isn't supposed to do.
So my question, I guess I'm not even concerned about that part. Like, if you take a shot of Toradol, How much would his, because basketball is such a game of feel. You know, when you have the ball in your hand,
you don't go numb
range.
From it. It's okay. Just like you're getting a shot of injury. Like you just had six cups of coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. You're like, I feel really good.
So you're like Kramer.
I feel, yeah.
After
I feel really
the unlimited
good.
Lattes.
In my op, I'm like, I always felt as a player, like, God, I'm kind of letting my teammates down here. I got to give it a run. I at least have to give it a run. And I just don't know how close to 100% they have to be in order to play.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm guessing, especially with an MCL, just any sort of knee injury in basketball, as much cutting and quick movement that you need in small spaces, it seems like it would be tough.
But let me ask you this, Gabe. Is Chris Middleton at 93% better than the guy that's playing for him right now?
Yeah, without a doubt. And if he's at 93%, I think he plays.
You think so?
I mean, the only time I've seen Chris since, they showed him, I don't even know before what game, but he was out there on the floor. He was taking some shots from the corner and kind of messed
around.
Had
his knee wrapped up still, didn't he?
And it didn't look like he was putting any pressure
really?
On that knee.
All right. Second degree. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I've never played with played basketball with an MCL. I played football with it, you know. But, I mean, come on, football players are 50 times tougher than
okay, that's
players.
Enough of that. Jack, you mentioned Gabe was talking about the Bucks, obviously, on Inside the NBA last night. Charles Barkley also weighing in, as he is wont to do. Here's what he had to say about the Bucks' Game 4 performance.
You looked at the game, and Milwaukee had to lead the entire game. But you were saying to yourself, they're not playing good basketball. It's get a ball to Giannis, and he goes one-on-one. No, there was no ball movement. There was no body movement. I thought that was really the key to the game. They never got anybody else involved. I told you before the game, I thought Connaughton, Portis, Bobby Portis has been missing. And
he's
they got
kind of tentative to me.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
yeah, he's passed
up. He's passing up to those threes,
well,
those corner
three,
threes.
And he's
because
a great 3-point shooter. Because I think they can't get in a rhythm.
And this is why I said to Gabe this morning, it would be one thing if it was just the fourth quarter, to be honest with you, because then I could easily chalk it up to fatigue. I could go, all right, they're without one of their best players. They're all playing a few extra minutes, more than they would like. They're tired. They're gassed. It's catching up with them in the fourth quarter. But that second quarter, guys, that was ugly, too. They were all out of sorts. Missing open shots. Missing bunnies. The three-point misses. The meme I put up at halftime was the dude from Along Came Polly, Rainmaker, because that's what it was like shooting for three for both teams. I don't want to sit here and act like that was only a Bucks issue, but they were getting points off of turnovers. That was a good thing. But the fact that it was a 1-point game at the half, I was very uncomfortable with how poorly the Bucks were playing. Bobby was struggling inside. Horford was starting to cook a little bit. It just felt like things were not going to go their way. And still, as I said to you guys, in that third quarter, they had an 89% win probability according to ESPN.com. So it wasn't like it was just the fourth quarter. They were struggling in the second quarter as well. And here's what I will say about this series. The margin for error is so much smaller. This isn't the Chicago Bulls, guys, where you can screw around and still pull out a victory. This team is good. This team is good offensively, and they're especially good defensively. And I keep going back to what I said to you guys about the way that they're defending, where even when they collapse, they're athletic enough that if the Bucks then kick it out, they're able to get back on the perimeter, get a hand in the guy's face as well. You're not going to get as many open shots, and the Bucks just looked out of sorts. For me, second quarter, had a little blurb of greatness in the third quarter, and then went back to fourth quarter.
Bobby played 15 minutes last night.
Yeah,
that's
but
it. That's it. 15 minutes.
I know, but are they expecting too much from him? I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Okay, let's go back to my date. Robert Brooks goes down, right?
Yeah.
You don't ask the next receiver up to make up the difference. You spread it free, you got to have a few more catches. Chu, you got to have a few more catches. Dorsey, you got to have a few more catches, right?
But Bobby's,
I mean,
did
you expect Bobby Portis to score 25 points?
No, but he averaged 15 during the regular season. So, you know, when you're scoring four, I feel like asking for 15 isn't asking a little too much out of Bobby Portis.
No, you're probably right.
You know, so I'm not expecting him to score 25, but no, if he scores 15, if Pat scores 11 or 12, which he's certainly capable of do, I mean, Wes Matthews and Grayson Allen, in terms of offense, like, they combined for 19 points. Perfect. Great. And really, what you need is efficiency out of Jrue Holiday. Like 5 of 22 just ain't going to get it done.
I agree. He needs to be more efficient. You need to look to your superstars.
Yes.
To make up. I mean, this isn't regular. This is the playoffs, right?
Playoffs.
Your A players got to play like A players.
Yes.
They can't play like C players or B players.
Well, and that was coming off of an 11 for 30 performance for Drew the game before. So again, it wasn't great. It wasn't as abysmal as it was last night. So let me ask you guys a question, because I asked you this headed into the game. Should Grayson Allen be starting? He started again last night and was mostly ineffective. Is he better off the bench? Should Grayson Allen be coming in off the bench? Because that's what he's been used to. That's what he's been good at. He's that spark for you. He can knock down the threes. He didn't hit his first three-pointer until the fourth quarter. That is unacceptable.
He's been bad. Like, in the last three games, he has been bad. I would at
but
this
so
point.
Is Bobby.
That's the thing.
Like that's the problem. It's the. I have no idea what you do, because they
you start
both
Pat
been bad.
Maybe. Like if your option then is you start Pat and you hope that. That's the thing. That you want Pat to be the guy off the bench. You're supposed to be able to rely on Pat and Bobby off the bench.
I mean, Grayson started most of the season until the end when they decided to start Wes, right? Like, they started Wes the last week or two of the regular season, so Grayson went to the bench. Bobby Portis started most of the regular season because of Brooke Lopez and his injury, and then they put Bobby back in. I mean, you got to start one of those two. I think Pat, you got to keep bringing him off the bench because you do need some bench scoring, and he's, like, Pat hasn't really been a starter where the other two have. You just need more.
Let me ask you a question. Why did Javon Carter fall out of favor? I'm not saying that he needs to be a starter, but he was playing good minutes for them. And I saw a statistic last night that said 9 of 31. Players are shooting 9 of 31 or 29% when defended by Javon Carter in the 2022 NBA playoffs. Now, yes, that's the Bulls, so take it for what it's worth. But he certainly was giving them some production defensively.
George Hill. That's an easy answer. Like George Hill, and George Hill has been oh, come on.
Yeah, he hits his
George Hill. I mean, George Hill's been fine defensively. He had the one and one that he gave up. For the most part last night, he was pretty good defensively, and it's very obvious that his teammates trust him out there. It's very obvious that Coach Bud trusts him out there. Like, George Hill is getting those backup point guard minutes. Like, once George was healthy, Javon wasn't going to get any minutes.
Where are you on the scale?
I'm a little stressed.
You look a little stressed.
That's where I'm at. But I could see why you're freaking out.
Yeah, with a splash of freaking out, to be honest with you. Like, I could get to the freaking out point if I started to, like, marinate on this a little bit more. I'm choosing to sit in the stressed space because this is two games now where they've kind of yacked up the lead and had a bad fourth quarter. And as I said, I might be able to say, well, they're just fatigued. They're down a guy. Everybody's playing extra minutes. They're running with this team, playing tough defense. They're tired. But I said the second quarter looked like crapola, too. It'd be one thing if the second quarter they were, like, firing on all cylinders, right? I can't make the excuse for them in the second quarter.
So about 5:45 tomorrow, you're going to be freaking out? Is that what you're saying?
So just before the game,
then? Yeah, it's like about 15 minutes
before. Yeah, I don't know. I think it depends. Halftime. Give me halftime, all right? Depending on where we are at halftime, I'll slide into the freaking out space.
To answer your question, Chu, Boston is favored by 5.5.
Wow.
Line came out.
Why? 5.5.
Why?
Because they're at home and they just won by 8.
ESPN's, I was looking at this earlier, ESPN's win index for the series is now at 78% in favor of Boston.
78?
For 78. The series or for the
78,
game?
78.
Is that because they're so gassed and it's a quick turnaround?
I mean, momentum plays a role in that. Look, we talked about this a little bit, but Giannis just looks gassed. I don't know how much rest he's going to get between now and then, where, again, if he's going to go balls to the wall, as we said in the first hour of the show, in the fourth quarter, it's going to be the same thing all over again.
Unless they have a big lead, and then they, I mean, again, but no lead seems safe right now. You got 15, you got 16. What were they up by yesterday?
I think their largest lead was 10.
Mm-hmm.
People weighing in on the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. That number, of course, 800-990-3776. Unnamed in the 262 saying, here's the deal. The only way Horford kills you is leaving him open defensively. When the Bucks have a decent lead, stop shooting long-range jumpers and attack the rim. When the Bucks have the ball in the post, they need someone to cut to the rim. I get the open shooter mentality, but they need to be more unpredictable.